welcome to the June 20th edition of Uncle Bobby's Country Corner.
I'm supposed to hear you in this? I don't hear you.
You don't hear me?
No.
Well, don't worry about it. I hear you. We got a little technical difficulty that we're going to straighten out momentarily. Are you plugged in? You in there? Can you hear?
You got a shortage.
It's a short. I can hear you, so don't worry about it. We good. Welcome to Uncle Bobby's Country Corner, where real men don't play. It's June 20th. We're here in the Crenshaw District at Maris Media Studios. And to my immediate left sits a man I've had the pleasure of knowing for about 25 years longer. And what we're going to do for a couple of minutes is share with you the significance of affecting positive social and economic change. Rock Johnson, welcome to Uncle Bobby's Country Corner.
Welcome.
Excuse me?
I said welcome, Negro.
See, that's what I've been dealing with for 25 years, my people. This brother here, I'm going to let him speak to his history in and out of the culture. And more importantly, what he's doing as we sit here right now with his I Can All-Star. So what's going on with you, Rock?
You want me to get history of myself?
Yeah, let them know who you are, man. Some people done heard the name Rockhead Johnson. Some people wish they hadn't heard the name Rockhead Johnson. And about 1,500 kids glad to know Rockhead Johnson.
How everybody doing? I hope all is well. Bobby had me run across town. And then I ain't got no parking spot available, you know, but it's all good. But anyway.
He's been working with Jim Brown too long, man. He got this diva thing going on now. Man. Come on, man, if I had to bite you up in here.
Anyway, I'm known in the streets as Joe Rockhead, crazy Mr. Rockhead. Went to jail at 12 years old. Went to youth, got kicked out of all three youth authorities, Preston, Paso Robles, YTS. Went to Tracy State Penitentiary at 15. Got kicked, eventually got put in a hole in Tracy State Penitentiary. Got out for 6 months at the age of 19, went back at 19, and did 12 years straight. So my first term was 7 years. My second term was 12 straight. I'm a former original Compton Crip. I'm the last of the first generation, the first of the second generation. I'm 55 years old. And my name basically speaks for itself. There's no smut on me. There's no dirt on me. And I'm straight up. People don't like me because I talk too much, because I'm straight up. And people love me because I have a passion in what I believe in. And when I believe in something, I go after it. And 1991, 92, I ran across Jim Brown, took about 60 gang members up to his house with me. And we met. It was bad timing. I had an attitude. He was trying to stay positive. And I walked away. I came with attitude, walked away with attitude. Someone gave him my number. He pursued me. As he pursued me, he challenged my manhood. He basically looked me dead in my eyes and asked, was I a boy, a punk, or was I a man? And I looked at him, man. I said, no one talks to me like that. And I took my Trey 5-7 out my pocket and showed him. Nobody.
Well, some of my listeners don't know what a Trey 5-7 is.
A 357 Magnum, long nose.
Carry on.
You know. But he challenged me, and that was the first time in my life I ever allowed an adult to challenge me in such a way, and I didn't strike him. And when he challenged my mind and told me to sit down and listen, that was the first time I wanted to listen. And as I listened, he challenged me on different journeys, different ways of how to help change my life. He threw his 15-chapter life skills program at me and made me realize, if I can't deal with self, how can I help others? If I can't deal with self, those who follow me in a negative way, how are they going to be down the long run if they can't follow me in a positive way? So eventually I learned how to deal with myself, my own child conditions and my own taboos. And once I understood that, it made me the person I am today. I've been with Jim Brown's AmeriCan program now for 26, 27 years. I've worked and ran this program out of 31 states. I brought troops around across the country with different neighborhoods. And I push it. What I did in 1994, I took the ICANN from American and created my own ICANN Youth Foundation, where I help young men get to college through basketball. If y'all understand sports today, people monopolize and pimp our kids every day. Everybody want that shoe company deal. Everybody want that next kid in the NBA or the NFL. And they use our kids, and the parents are naive. But today's parents, they biting into the myth. They trying to eat and not teach. They trying to eat and not learn for themselves that you cannot pimp yourself or pimp your child. So by me creating my ICANN Youth Foundation, I felt that these young men needed someone positive, needed someone strong, and needed someone just as much as a tenacity as they thought they had that I always had all my life. So I took these young men off the streets. And since 1994, I took over 160 kids to college, 90% Division I. I had four guys in the NBA. They all slept on my one-bedroom floor. Paul George, Jordan Hamilton, Derek Williams, Darius Morris, Ronnie Aguilera, and a few others. I got a lot of young men that plays overseas. I have a kid named Ronald Armstead, played for University of Loyola Marymount, got his degree, got his double degree. Now he's working on his master degree, and he's traveling and seeing the world. And he was a kid that went to Fremont High School who slept in the car because his grandmother put him out and his dad was in jail. Had a kid named Big 50, Tyrone Riley, at L.A. Jordan High School. At 15, he had a son. He was a star quarterback, star basketball player, and a star baseball pitcher. His homeboys came to me and said, Rock, save him. I ended up sending him to LACC. He graduated from LACC with his AA. Then he ended up going to the University of San Francisco. Then he went to overseas to play 5 years overseas. Now he's back home, and he called me and said, Rock, what you done for me, I want to do for my neighborhood. I need your help. So I do everything I can to help him. Now he's the head coach at L.A. Jordan High. Now he's trying to do something in his community in the projects. This is what I do. This is what I target. There's a lot of young men out there at risk to become gang members. There's a lot of young people out there who think they want to be gang members, don't have an idea what a gang member is. Like I tell people, I ain't never been no gang man. I was a gangster. Bottom line, you mess with me, I got you. When I went to prison, I saw people get raped. I saw guys who thought they was tough Crips go in there and get raped by their own homeboy because they showed a sign of weakness. I've seen some of the most terrible things you could ever see that a young 15-year-old should never see. And I've seen it and I lived it. And I told myself I would never allow anyone to violate me. So I became the most violent, the most terrifying person to ever live in the California state prison system. If anyone been to prison in California, will tell you about me. Because it speaks for itself. I didn't allow homeboys to rape homeboys. I didn't allow homeboys to slap homeboys because they wouldn't jump when they say jump. I hated all that. And as I got older, I did something about it. I became the one. And I helped change the culture and give young people a chance, even while they're in jail. So for me to get an opportunity to run across a Jim Brown American program, a Jim Brown, who's my only father figure I know because I don't know my biological father. People run around here and talk about Jim Brown all day long, but I ain't never seen a man help other young lost souls the way that man helped us. I've seen that man buy Pampers, fix transmissions, give, and all he asks of us to do is go through that curriculum and learn about yourself and try to change your life and want to change your life so you can make a difference in your community. So anybody got anything bad to say about that man, they could kiss my behind. But back to what I'm doing. I created a basketball program because I saw a lot of young guys getting lost, a lot of young guys being used. So in 1994, I created it, and Jim Brown sponsored me the first couple of years. After that, he wanted me to focus more on American, more of the gang stuff. But I couldn't allow them kids to slip by. Because at the end of the day, when kids are not given, young men are not given hope and not given reasons to be positive, they become negative. So by refusing to not allow that my program to go to waste, I've been totally successful in what I do. People wonder how I raise the money every year. I beg, I borrow. I try to get it any way I can, but I don't do nothing illegal. I don't carry my gun no more. There's no need for me to carry my gun no more. My gun is being able to help these youngsters. My gun is being able to walk with these youngsters and show them that they're not cursed at birth and they are somebody. So this July, I'm trying to raise money to take a group of young men who basically never been on a plane before and take them to Georgia, Augusta, Georgia, play in a tournament where college coaches come to watch them play, and Orlando, Florida. And then once we come back from Orlando, Florida, we go to Vegas, where you got over 20,000 young men fighting for scholarships. And that's what I do.
So, Rock, I came by the gym in Inglewood last Saturday and watched a few of the prospects that you're working with right now. Your team has become, well, in the last few years, it's become international, but this year you went deep into the Congo and yielded some really special food. Talk about some of the young men that are now playing for you that are from Africa.
I've had players over the years from everywhere. You'd be surprised how many people are bringing other young men from different countries out here trying to make a dollar off them. So a lot of people bring a lot of people, and they putting 6, 7, 8 guys in one bedroom apartment buildings. And then if they don't become the basketball players they think they should become, then they drop them. I received a phone call from a friend, and he said he got 3 young Africans from Congo, and could I help them? I don't turn my back on any kid. Marcus Johnson from UCLA could attest to that. Most of his sons played for me. 2 of his sons really weren't that good in basketball, and I created a developmental team just for his sons to take them to Vegas with us to play in a lesser tournament. I don't have tryouts. I have workouts because I refuse to allow any kid to be turned down, and that's why a lot of people don't like me. I'm the only organization, travel ball team in the country, don't charge kids. You got teams out here who got $100,000 shoe company deals, and they still charge parents $1,500, $2,500 for 5 weeks of basketball and pimping these parents. And I refused to. So when these young men was brought to me, I told them I got them. The same way with American. When Jim Brown, we had a kid in Denver, Colorado. The judge said either he go to Jim Brown's program in California or he go to jail. He came and lived with me. We had a kid from Washington, D.C., the same situation, came and lived with me. My passion of saving our young men is too deep. So I refuse to turn my back. So I opened the door for these young men, and they're very talented. They're good. They're the most humblest kids I've ever met in my life. There are some selfish young men out here. But these young 3 guys are very humble and very good. And they have a future, not just in basketball. They are excelling in academically in their school.
I took a liking to the big fella, Steve Azanza. He's 7'1", 16 years old, and he's built like Kareem. He's long. And see, Rock can't really play like I can. That's why he's looking at me like he can't play a lick, man. And but here's what's so phenomenal about him. Rock never played organized sports. He was already in trouble by the time he was 12. And more than likely, he'd have been an outstanding football player. Just, you know, he built like it all his life, you know, wide as he is, tall. And I seen his jump shot, and it's kind of ugly. But he's a tenacious guy, very tenacious, and it pours into the kids because unlike most AAU teams, I can't all-stars defend. Defend, defend, defend. And matter of fact, most of the kids that have went on to the D1 level, they got scholarship because they played both ends. Isn't that correct, Ryan?
Oh, without a question. Most coaches, I got about 60 head coaches in Division I school in my phone. I got about 140 assistant coaches in my phone. And most of them say, if you play for Rock, you can play for us. Because I don't play. I don't let up. And they know. I've had kids from DeAndre Bell went to Georgia Tech. You know, Ray Reed went to Georgetown.
The kid that played with the coach of the Lakers now, Luke Walton. What's the kid's name? He's one of the first kids.
Oh, Hassan Adams from Westchester. Yeah, one of my first kids I got. Mm-hmm. I got there. I've had a lot of kids from everybody's neighborhood that I've helped. You know, without me, I don't think they'd be there.
Well, one of the reasons I asked Rock to come on, because like I said, we both had the honor and pleasure of working with Jim for me over 20 years and for him 27 years, and father figure to both of us, and one of my best friends, in addition to everything else. There's been some challenges raising money and staying, I guess, in a competitive lane as far as what it takes to run an AAU program. So why should people that are listening to this show and will listen to this show, why should they support the ICANN All-Stars?
Because we're real. We're a total grassroots organization who really deals with the streets. We don't turn our back or we don't close our door on any kid, no matter how good they are. And we strive to achieve the best, and our motto is that each of us help the other become a better person.
So how much money would it take, Rock, for you to be able to breathe a little bit? Because I know, man, over the years, you know, sometimes even when you've traveled, you've had to max out your credit card and just, you know, do whatever you had to do, man, to make sure that you were able to successfully.
I ain't got no credit card. I max out my coach's credit card and tell them I pay them back. I mean, they'll be honest.
So what kind of money do you need right now,
I mean,
for this year?
Right now, we was blessed by DeSean Jackson. He paid for my airline tickets.
Just recently?
Just recently paid for our airline tickets.
Shout out to DeSean Jackson.
I mean, let me tell you something, man. I just called him and said, man, I need your help. One of my sponsors who normally sponsored me passed away last year. Another one of my sponsors got divorced from his wife and said he not sponsoring nothing no more. You know, so it's harder to hustle, and DeSean, you know, made that part of it possible for us. You know, we still, so I got to hustle to get vans. You know, normally I tell parents, all I need from you is food money for your kids. Get your kids food money. Let me tell y'all something. Most of these parents give their kids $100 knowing we're going to be gone for 17 days.
And they'll eat up that much food on the road in a day and a half.
I'm not going to allow any kid to starve.
Yeah.
You know, so basically where we at now as far as van rental, some rooms and other stuff, I'm just trying to raise another $8,000. And people say I'm crazy because I only want what I need. I don't want no $100,000, $200,000. I just want what I need. And what I need is to make sure that we get there safely and be comfortable when we get back home. One day we was almost stranded, so I do one-way tickets. And, DeSean Jackson 3 years ago sent me $4,000 to get us back home. So he's always been a blessing, you know, because, I mean, what this only thing this does for me, it allows me to breathe that another young man can make a different and a better choice. And that's what I care about, helping these young men make the right choice. Because every choice, I want to say, Bobby, my mother had 8 of us, 4 girls, 4 boys, all of us got different dads, and she used to beat the shit out of me. And I probably deserved it. But the last time she whooped me with a stitching cord, I grabbed a stitching cord so you never whooped me again. Then when she came at 11 years old and I was in jail, and she came and got me out, and the car was right in front of me, Bobby. I looked left, I looked right, and I slept on a park roof that night. I chose my lifestyle. I don't fault my mother. I don't fault I didn't have a father in my life. I fault me because my mother gave us 3 square meals and a snack. I chose my lifestyle to be Joe Rockhead. I chose to be violent. I chose to be dangerous. Just like now, I choose to change other people's lives for they won't make the dumb, stupid, ignorant, irresponsible choices I made in my life. I try to give them life through my examples.
Well, you know, you mentioned your relationship with DeSean Jackson. I remember, let me see, it's had to been over 10 years ago now. DeSean was a senior in high school, and you brought him and his father, the late, what was his father's name, man? I should know his dad's name, man. Hold on just 1 second. This is unusual. I need to do this, y'all. Hey, Fernando, you coming? I tell you what, we're going to go to break here in a minute. I'll call you back, okay? All right. That was another guest. I apologize for that. And this is a real show in real time with real people, real situations. Another brother, Fernando Pullum, he runs the Fernando Pullum Community Arts Performing Arts Center right across the street over here. And like you, is putting in some amazing work. And that's why I continually bring on this show Models of Possibility and Best Practices. But I wanted to share with the audience what Jim Brown has, I guess, birthed into people like Rock and thousands of other people, including me, all over the country, man, who have a responsibility to do the kinds of things that Rock is doing, and in my own small way, the work that I try to carry out every day of my life as a result of being exposed to Jim Brown's example. When Deshaun Jackson was a senior in high school, he was probably one of the most highly recruited athletes because he was an outstanding baseball player and football player. And his father, I can't think of his name right now, man. He was a beautiful brother. He passed away a few years ago of cancer. And through Rock, he reached Bill. Bill is his name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bill reached out to you. And there was another cat. He was a reporter for one of the papers in Long Beach. They brought Deshaun Jackson to Jim's house because he was at a crossroads. He wanted to play professional baseball. And we sat in Jim's living room that night. And it was one of the many occasions where Jim has counseled parents and their children. And Rock was responsible primarily for making that meeting happen. And Deshaun sitting there that night, and he played, you know, he played that highlight reel of how great he was, and you could tell that this was a very, very special athlete. But that's the kind of environment Jim has created, and Rock has begun to emulate that over the last 20 years to the extent where he deserves as much help as we can possibly give him to continue doing that kind of work, because look what it produced. Because Deshaun, as he just said, has been, you know, helpful over the years. And in turn, Rock has helped him in some situations over the years. You know, when he was in Philadelphia, when he needed somebody to stand with him and for him, you flew out to Philly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this ain't just about basketball. It's about producing better people. And I think that's more important than anything, that we begin to look at who's producing. We give a lot of credit to celebrities for just being celebrities. We give a lot of credit to athletes just for being athletes, entertainers for just being entertainers. But the people who really need the support materially, and sometimes just a, you know, keep doing good work, Rock, you know, that goes a long way. But right now, it's about putting that money in folks' hands, and you know where it's going and what it's going to do. So how, Rock, can people get in touch with you and support this initiative right now?
I mean, my website, I have ICANYouthFoundation.org, ICANYouthFoundation.org. I have a sponsorship connection on my website. People,
they can donate from the website.
They can donate from my wife's website. They want to reach me through phone. I mean, I had this phone for 21 years. It ain't going to change. It's 213-761-5570, 213-761-5570. If you call in response from this show, just text me first and I get back at you. I mean, them are the main two direct ways of dealing with me. I mean, I drive Uber when I'm not working with American, and I met a lot of wonderful people in Uber, and a lot of people donate to my foundation, a few dollars here, a few dollars there. I had met an Italian lady, and she asked me where I was from. I told her Compton, and one of the top producers in Italy came out here last week to interview me. He wanted to do a documentary on me now, you know, and I had a lot of people talking about they wanted to help me do a book, help me do that, and don't come through. I just keep it pushing. It don't bother me, but these Italian people are, like, on it. They came and brought a film crew and started talking to me, and you know, they put some paperwork together, and I send it to my guy. He looked at it and said, "Rock, it looked good." You know, and it's about really, you know, like I said, my model, my organization model, American model, each of us helped the other become a better person. I don't ever want to glorify in anything I do my past, but I know it's necessary for people to hear my past, to understand my passion. You know, I just want to let people know that you can change. You can go from one extreme to another. I know people hear a lot of different stories about people in jail, this and that. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like me. And I'm not bragging, I know. You know, you go to prison at 15, and you got grown men in there, and they respect you at 15 because I took that respect. And I didn't like things I saw. And I wanted to change things at a very young age. So I had to become the monster that I became to be successful today.
Well, we're going to take a short pause. Don't you go nowhere, Rock, because there's a couple more things I want to talk about on air with you. So we're going to be right back in 2 and 2. Hey,
with the lyrics, really well done. Really proud of you guys. Looking forward to hearing more and more. Keep it up.
You got it.
Unity requires you and me working together fluently, growing further away from who we used to be. If we can't do it together, you ain't moving me. Unity requires all of us. I say we must answer if they call on us. Looking up to the Most High, letting all of the blessings fall on us.
I see what I just saw and heard what I just heard.
I'm so proud to know the man sitting to my immediate right, Brother Fernando Pulliam. Welcome to Uncle Bobby's Country Corner.
Nice to be here.
Put that a little closer to you. The reason this brother's here, he walked over here from the Fernando Pulliam Community
Arts Center.
Arts Center. And he has with him a couple of students, and they're going to be performing. Just kind of tell us what's going on tomorrow, first of all.
There's an Ella Fitzgerald celebration at the Baldwin Hills Mall, starting at 3 o'clock, and we're playing along with Barbara Morrison.
Now, how many pieces will be performing?
We'll have 18-piece big band.
And the age range is what?
8 to 19.
8 to 19. You have a couple of your proteges sitting here with you right now. Would you identify who these young men are?
It's Nick and Jonte. We just got out of the car. I have to pick these guys up from Compton on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You know, it's a lot safer than them getting on the bus. You know, so we try to get them here, you know, safely, and you know, expand their horizons, give them an opportunity to play. You know, we're making a record this summer, and we're playing Catalina's Bar and Grill on July 26th. So we're spending a lot more time trying to get ready for those things.
So give us a little background on who Fernando Pulliam is and how you arrived at the destination that you now occupy on the corner of 43rd and Degnan Avenue in Los Angeles, California.
Well, like most of my students, my life started with a journey, and a negative journey, where both my parents were drug addicts. Unfortunately, my mother was a prostitute across the street from my junior high school. And because I played music, I was able to raise my self-esteem to a level to get out of the circumstances that I was in. You know, and then, you know, I've seen people murdered. You know, the gang thing was very prevalent in my community. I'm from Chicago. But I got a full ride to University of Michigan, and I played with a number of artists. I played with Ella Fitzgerald, Cab Calloway, Pharrell, Snoop, just a lot of different artists had great opportunities. People used to say that I was going to be incarcerated. And I just understand that if you give people just a small opportunity, that they can be successful. And I was the band director in Washington High School for like 22 years. The last 15 of those years, we had 100% graduation. Mm. And, you know, and we've opened the Playboy Jazz Festival. My students have opened the Playboy Jazz Festival like 4 times.
So a few weeks ago, you guys performed at the Barbara Morrison, jazz festival, whatever it was. And you had about, what, maybe 18 pieces out there that day?
Close to that.
Let me tell y'all something. This brother is as gifted as Rock is working with kids in basketball in terms of taking raw talent and accelerating the learning curve. Because when I tell you these young cats, what do you play, son?
Saxophone.
What about you?
Saxophone.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't heard these boys play, but if they in this man's band, they playing grown folks' music, and they sound like grown folks. It is just so phenomenal to watch young kids begin to master instruments at the age of how old are you?
17.
You're 17?
16.
See, they're going to be making money in a minute because of this man right here. Instead of out there with a ski mask and a pistol, they'll be going around the world making people feel good about what they've accomplished musically. And that's a tribute to you and the people that are sowing into your program. Now, one of the parents that is participating in your music academy is a dear, dear friend of mine by the name of Adonijah. His son is Honor. And he was telling me this morning that you need to, you know, be able to raise some money to be able to really accommodate the kids for the summer. And I want to use this show on an ongoing basis as a way to get the word out that between Rock's ICANN All-Star Basketball Program and Fernando Pulliam's Music Academy, these are the kind of investments that you can make where there's an immediate return, not only in terms of human development, but the stability of communities and of families.
Can I get an echo on that, my brother?
Absolutely. We don't charge a penny. And I've been living on the good graces of my friends and people that see what we do. And, you know, we've had, like, since I've been teaching in L.A., I've had, like, 6 Grammy winners. So that they people can see the results. And the kids are very responsive. We went to Cuba twice. We went to Spain. We played in Brazil. We played a Jewish wedding in New York, which really fascinated because we played Horus, and they were just like looking up all these kids of color playing their music, and they thought it was like the most phenomenal thing. But it's just music to us. So, but it's really, really challenging, and you know, and unfortunately, we don't get a lot of community support, and the people that help me the most don't look like us at all, and half of them don't even live here. They live in New York. So it's just, you know, I think our stories become so similar sometimes that we don't, you know, half the people I know have people that folks have their family members are incarcerated and their folks are on drugs. So when you tell that tell that story in our neighborhood, it's a common language. So it's not like, you know, but I don't know. But what we get used for most of the time, when people want photo ops and they want free music, they call me. But when it's time to help us, they don't call.
You can relate to that, right?
Oh, man, I can relate to that. I mean, it's sad. I mean, it's really sad that our own folks refuse to step out the box and support something they know is good. Something they know is good. If it's music, if it's basketball, it's whatever it is, it's a lot of positive things going on in our community. And we are deep into being as grassroots as you can imagine with no budget. When I'm listening to you ain't got no budget. Like, I ain't got no budget. We just create what we create to make what happens. But our own kind. If you go deeper, Southern California got 29 NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
Most, all 29 know me. If you interview them, they'd say, I'm doing it the right way. But none of them really step out the box and say, right, let me help you.
Well, here's what I'm going to suggest, because I know his Rolodex is full of people who could write a check and solve all your money problems and not miss a dime of it.
No.
And let's just accept that for what it is and reverse the paradigm to the point where let's take it person to person, person to person, person to person. My wish tonight is that give out your website a way to you have PayPal on your site?
Yes. Okay. Our website is pullumcenter.org, pullumcenter.org. Our number is 323-292-2700. And you know, we have PayPal on the website.
It's imperative that anybody that hears this do 2 things. Make a contribution, every little bit helps, and more importantly, encourage other people to make a contribution, because for years I have operated out of the same assumption that those that got it to throw away should throw it away here, but they don't. So in the meantime, and we're going to still keep knocking on those doors, but in the meantime, let's go person to person with this appeal, because this is an investment that you get an immediate return across the board. I can't think of anything you could do better with the disposable income that you have than to invest in people who have done it without some money. Imagine what they could do if they had a little something. I don't see it corrupting them, because that's the ultimate test. If you will do something when you have nothing, chances are pretty good if you get a little something, you're just gonna do more of what you have been doing with it. You know, that's my assumption.
And Bobby, I also forgot, in my lifestyle that I chose to live all my life, I have 6 daughters and 1 son. And my son just signed this letter, intent to go to York University on a full scholarship ride in Omaha, Nebraska. My 17-year-old daughter is graduating from Luzinger. She's going to East Bay University. You know, my kids are important to me.
especially my son. Most people know my son.
Lil Rock, that's what we call him, Lil Rock.
And let me tell y'all something. He may have gotten one or two fights in his life. I told him he ain't never got a fight. I told him he would never live the life I lived. And since he was born, I conditioned him to be better than me. And as an example, he graduated from middle school. I never did. He graduated from high school. I never attended. He graduated from junior college. Now he's going to a university to complete his success in playing basketball and also get a degree to go beyond basketball.
You know, what's interesting, as I said earlier, Rock can't play basketball or tennis. He had the nerve to play me when he was slightly disabled, and I believe in youth in Asia, so I mercy killed him, you know. But the thing that's so beautiful about what he has done with this basketball program here, Rock didn't know anything about basketball, per se, when he started in 1994. But he's a very resourceful brother. He brought in some cats from USC, Dwayne Cooper, who played professional basketball, and he worked out the nuances, you know, in terms of the drills and all that. He brought the passion and the eye, just like you'll find kids, you know, and you're just so into them, and before you know it, they blossom. That's what he did with his basketball program. And by the time Lil Rock was old enough to play on the team, he wasn't getting much playing time. And most parents, you know, they show preference to their kids, right? Rock didn't play till he was his last year in terms of, you know, a lot of time, because he had to earn his stripes just like everybody else.
I don't show favoritism. I don't care if you're my son, you're my daughter, you're my brother, you're my sister. I've seen so many dads in basketball and football create their own teams for their son, and their son never come out and do their son a disservice. My son did not play for my elite team until his senior year, and he didn't start. And every travel ball team out there wanted my son to play with them and let him start. To me, he wasn't good enough or prepared enough for me. It had nothing to do with nobody else. I needed him to excel more than just basketball, more than just on the court. Yes, he's athletic. Yes, he's one of the top JUCO kids in the country shooting. He's probably one of the most athletic JUCO kids in the country. But to me, he wasn't ready. And I refuse to show favoritism, because if I show favoritism for mine, what type of example I'm going to set for others? And because of that, he got his scholarship. He has an opportunity to excel, to be whatever he want to be, for all the right reasons. And every day he tells me, Dad, I should have listened to you. Dad, I should have listened to you. And I just say, son, we all go through what we have to go through to be the people we are today. Although in the beginning of the show, I showed the power of negativity, but you got to understand the power of positivity. Because once you could shake that negative and be positive and be just as influenced and just as powerful in a positive way as I've been displaying for the last 27 years. Understand me, I got out of jail in 1991. I ain't been back. Because of Jim Brown, because of my will, and because of the life I got, like Bobby keep alluding the fact too, I can't play basketball.
We
played prison ball. I ain't never professed to be no basketball player.
He did.
And I used my friends, Dwayne Cooper, Jeremiah Adams, who grew up in my neighborhood, went to Oregon, played a couple years in a league overseas, except I used my brother friends who was new basketball. And I knew what I was. I'm not a coach. I'm a motivator. I will young men to do things they don't believe they have within themselves. I have coaches. Simone Stewart out of John Mayer High School coached for me the last 5 years. Lionel Benjamin, Greg Nunn. I've had a lot of coaches over the years who do the X and O. I know my lane, and I think that's what gives me my strength. I know my lane.
Well, you are absolutely right about that. And, man, this show done went so fast. once again, Rock, tell them how to get in touch with you, please.
ICANYouthFoundation.org. ICANYOUTH, Foundation, FOUNDATION. .org, ICANYouthFoundation.org, or 213-761-5570. 213-761-5570. Please text.
I'll call. Yeah, right now. Don't even hesitate about that. Brother Fernando, how do we get in touch with you, brother?
323-292-2700.
And the website?
PulhamCenter.org.
PulhamCenter.org. And you have a performance tomorrow for the people listening here in the greater Los Angeles area at the Baldwin Hills Plaza, right there in the, what do they call that, the foyer area or whatever?
Yes.
At 3 o'clock, tribute to Ella Fitzgerald.
And right? Then we play at Ward A&M on Saturday.
At 3 o'clock, Ward A&M. What's the address for that?
I'm so sorry, I don't know.
Just look it up if you're in the greater LA area. And what songbook are you playing for them on Saturday?
We're just playing a lot of hard music. You know, we're trying to challenge them. Uh-huh. To we're playing, like you said earlier, we play
grown folk music, yeah. Man. Grown folk.
And Bobby. And we're looking to leave July 11th. July 11th.
We need to make that happen now. I hope that's, is that your phone ringing?
No.
Is that yours?
No.
That's mine. I just turned it back on.
Oh, okay. So, as I close out tonight, I just want everybody that's listening to do a couple of things. If you did watch the show, and I know a lot of y'all, because of the hour, you catch it on YouTube, tell other people, text other people, transfer it so that we can kind of max out the exposure to these wonderful programs that are producing amazing results. And let's look at that as an opportunity to do that around the country, because we have an opportunity to affect positive social and economic change if we choose to. It's easy for us to concentrate on the tragedies like the Castile incident in Minnesota and the Eric Garner in New York, the Brother Brown in Missouri, and all of those things that take us to the edge of just insanity. But the real get back is success. There's a lane for everybody. So if it's somebody out there that want to do some killing, they got plenty of lanes for you to go through to get that done. But if you want to support the development of young people and our culture, these are the individuals that you need to send that disposable income to. And in closing, I would just like to say, for example, there's a couple of businesses that should be supported. In Compton is one of them. It's called the Grocery Outlet at 2175 Rosecrans. If you don't even live in that area, I went over there yesterday just because it was time for me to do so. And it's clean. The prices are beyond reasonable. Ample parking, plenty of security, well lit, great service. No excuse not to be supported by the greater Los Angeles area. That's the Grocery Outlet at 2175 Rosecrans Avenue. And we also have a brother down in Jackson, Mississippi, who dropped an album last month by the name of David Banner, The God Box. Get some of that, because what David will do is support him. One of my ambitions is to get your 18-piece ensemble behind David Banner just riffing. I've already owned that in my spirit, man, because he's that kind of brother, you know. So as we close out this show, it comes back to why I do this show, the exposure of models of possibility and best practices. And on the way out of here, I want to thank you for letting me be myself. Again, hope to see you next week. Tell somebody about Uncle Bobby's Country Corner, where real men don't play. We're done.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.